a few hours, you're going to maybe say, what did I do? Monkey pour? Sat? Walk? Was silent? It's amazing, isn't it? Life comes and goes, passes so quickly. Is there someone for translation out there?
No need?
Okay, great. You hear me well? Well enough? So I begin tonight's talk with a story. It's a story that comes from the Zen tradition. And it's a villager who's down the hill, and he knows that there's a wonderful, wise old man knowing everything in terms of wisdom, in terms of peace, and he's up at the top of the mountain. And so he decides to go because he wants some peace of mind. And so he walks up there and he finds the old man. It's the Zen tradition, so he does 3 bows and he asks the question, tell me please, what is the way to wisdom, to the end of pain? And the old wise man is in silence, just like you were today. And he takes his brush and he writes the word attention. And so the villager says, I want more. What's more than attention in terms of leading to wisdom and peace? And a second time he writes attention. And so the villager becomes frustrated, irritated. Right? And he says, I don't understand. Can't you write a few more words? And the wise man writes a third time, attention. So this is what we've been cultivating, no? Some quality of attention all day. What type of attention? It seems that the wise man, in his third writing, he says, attention just means attention. This is what needs to be cultivated. So attention is this quality of mindfulness that we've been trying to apply in terms of body contact, and then as we're in body contact, we notice something is happening. And so you may question, exactly like the villager, you know, how can this lead to understanding or to peace? So it's said in the teachings that there are 3 sources of wisdom, and that there's a whole way, path, to actually understand what wisdom means. There are many ways that we can cultivate wisdom, right? That we can actually be wise. And in the teaching, it's stated very clearly. The first way is by way of hearing. It's called Suttamaya Bhavana. Hearing, reading the texts. Maybe you have a book that has initiated you, that has given you some kind of idea. Oh, this looks up like, you know, something wise to read. Or maybe you have a friend, right, who talks to you about some type of meditation. And this friend says, it's really helping me, it's supporting me. So it's the wisdom that comes from the outside, right? You hear or you read about, and just like now, it's actually happening, right? Hopefully you think it's hearing a little bit of wisdom. If not, then go to sleep. But the idea is that we hear some teaching, we read about something which is of an inspiration, and then what happens is that we think about it, right? This is the second type. We reflect. We have some thoughts, wise thoughts. And there's a learning in term of what we hear, we think about. Last night, Charles gave a talk, and very clearly today, some people said, yeah, last night's talk, you know, I reflected about it. Sometimes the talks are so stimulating that we can't sleep at night because we're reflecting. Ah, new ideas. And then we try to give meaning. This is through the thinking process, right? We conceptualize, we try to interpret, we try to understand. So these two types of wisdom that I'm talking about right now are happening, right? They're happening here in terms of meditation. They're happening if you are actually cultivating some skill, whatever the skill, right? You hear from a teacher, you read about a notion, even computer understanding skill, and then you think about, how am I going to be reflecting on this? So these are means, skillful means, where we use our thinking mind, right? There's a whole processing where we actually process the understanding and try to integrate it. So these two means of wisdom, they are based in conceptual understanding. And we actually say it's conceptual understanding. There's a third type of wisdom in the teaching, which is not based in thinking, but it's based in direct experience. Wisdom which comes from a place of connection with the intuitive base, understanding, direct exploration. And this is what is called meditation. Yeah? Meditation meaning that it's intuitive. We do not need to use the way of thought to realize intuitive wisdom, understanding by way of intuition. This is extremely common, meaning that we are aware. We use our awareness. We use our mindfulness. There's a mind, right? You all agree you have a mind? No, but really, frankly, do you know you have a mind? How do you know? How do you know? Do you know because you're thinking? Does it say that you have a mind because you're thinking? Or can you actually immediately know that you're aware? How do you know you have a mind? Because you can be aware, right? Can you be aware that you are aware right now? You can. It's fantastic, right? Do you need to think to know that you are aware? No. This is the third type of wisdom. You see? So it's so immediate. It's like we have eyes. We know we have eyes. The eyes see, right? They see all the time, right? Do we know, right, how we can see the eyes that see? Impossible, right? But they do see. So the mind knows. The awareness is always present. It's so immediate, it's so close to us that we don't have it as a recognition. We use it all the time, awareness, don't we? This is something we use all the time, but we don't pay attention to it. So what the meditation does, it's really a way where we are actually interested in the awareness itself. So this is happening before we begin to interpret, before we begin to judge, before we begin to analyze, before we begin to condemn, to blame, to try to improve. Much less complexity, right? So this is the type of awareness that we are calling mindfulness, right? So it is at times called, and I like the way that at times it's called, bare attention. And this is exactly what the Zen teacher was talking about, because there's a commentary to this little story. It's part of a text. And the clarity of this teaching that comes from this old wise man is called bare attention. What does it mean, bare? Unadorned. Unadorned means we don't add anything to it. It's direct experience, right? Moment by moment, we cultivate this direct attention, direct experience. So I'm going to give you an example because I think it's helpful to give examples. You like me to give an example? Yes. So probably you've had some pain today. Have anyone had pain today? It's common. You're not special, right? So in case you thought you were the only one, definitely you have friends who were in pain. So we can say, yes, there's a feeling of pain, right? That's the truth. I can call it and I name it, I have pain, right? Now, naming it pain is a concept, right? The word pain is not the actual experience. We don't actually feel pain. Of course, we say, I feel some pain. But it's already putting a label on what the actual experience is. So in meditation, what we're going to be exploring is simpler than that. It's the actual experience of that sensation. We experience a type of sensation. It may be tightness, it may be pressure, it may be heat, it may be burning, whatever, right? So I'm using words because I'm talking to you, right? When you feel that actual sensation, you don't need to use words. You actually need to feel, right? You need to be aware. So that quality of awareness is not happening through words or through thoughts. It's happening through connection, through close attention, coming into contact with that very sensation. And this is just an example. So we actually feel whatever sensation, and we name it pain. Okay? These are two different experiences. Now, why is there so much confusion in ourselves and in terms of how we relate to the world or to each other is that we're full of interpretations. We constantly interpret the world, right? Through our way of seeing. I perceive something, and you may perceive the same thing and have many different thoughts about it. Isn't it so? It is. The interpretation, the representation, is the concept. The actual experience, it's so much more simple than that. So what we are encouraging here is actually to come into meeting the bare experience. What's happening actually, in actuality? And this is the meaning of vipassana. So one of the aspects, one of the first things that we're learning, we need to learn to connect at this level of intuition. It's not a given. Why is it not a given? Because we spend most of our life thinking. We think about our life. We try to actually be in a situation where we are trying to resolve problems, we're trying to find solutions, we're trying to make the world one way or another, which is not a problem in itself. But maybe there's some more spaciousness when we can begin to see what is actually happening before we try to create and make of the world something, interpreting, analyzing. It gets very complex in terms of relationship, you know? This person said this of me and they think that of me. This is your interpretation. Maybe they absolutely don't think what you think they think. So in actuality, we begin to become a little more simple. Right? So it's like that for every single experience, where we begin to actually come into our senses. The sensory world is something that we can be aware of. So we use it all the time, no doubt, right? We eat, we smell, we see, we taste, we hear, and we're constantly using these doors, the sensory doors, but we're not aware, right? We're not aware that we are aware. So the meditation is really an invitation to become much more interested and aware of that field of experience. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does it make sense? Yeah? Now, just another example, right? When you're sitting here in this room, right? Are there ways that sometimes you have the thoughts, oh, I wish the bell would be ringing now? Probably, right? Because it's hard to be here if we've never really done a retreat before, 45 minutes, my goodness. It's like a journey across the Atlantic Ocean. So we're there and we have one thought. It was fine a second ago. Okay, I'm fine. I suddenly have this thought. The bell should ring now. I want the bell to ring. So we sit, we come back, breath, breath. Why isn't the bell ringing? I'm sure it's been 30 minutes, but in fact it's 10. It's horrible, right? Then it becomes, what happens? We make up this world with the thoughts. Unbearable. I can't stand one more minute. Thank goodness we're very open, you know, here in this Tovana, actually. People, I've noticed, they come in and they walk out. So there's some freedom. Right? Which, okay, you know maybe that you can walk out, which is, of course, a way that, oh, relief. But sometimes we say, okay, maybe it's worth staying here. It's worth looking at what is happening. What is the cause of this troublesome mind, impatience, agitated, or pain? And so, finally, you hear the bell. Relief. Right? So we hear the bell, and of course it has a meaning. In this surrounding, the meaning is it's the end of the sitting. Okay? So the end of the sitting is the thought process, right? It's the meaning why we ring the bell. But have you given some space to actually hear the sound of the bell? Hear vibration enter your ear door? Actually, we don't hear bell. We hear sound. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We hear sound and we think bell. right? And so what happens all the time is we conflate the two. With the meditation, we begin to actually see and hear and be present for the actual experience. These are two moments. I hear sound, I think what it means, right? The end of the sitting, the bell, da 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 da. Then it can be a world of what it means, right? It means I can get up, it means I'm gonna have some relief from my pain, it means I can do whatever I'm gonna go doing, right? It means a lot of things. Then we begin the construct, right? But this very first moment, we actually so often miss, right? So we hear sound, we taste the taste of food, we smell the smell of flower, right? And all of this is part of the meditation. It's a sensory experience. So a lot of it is coming into our senses, right? Rather than staying, very, very, very likely for many of us, we live in our thoughts. We live in the world of mental, the mental world, the constructs. And of course, if we don't have an embodied presence, it's going to be very different from what we normally know, from our habitual way of living, right? And so it's uncommon. And so, of course, it takes time to learn. So vipassana, the meaning, vipassana, means, which is the type of meditation we're doing, I don't know if you know, but this is what we're doing, right? It's called insight, and I think, no, the word is tovana, right? So this is the type where we're actually really learning this third type of wisdom. Insight comes from intuitive awareness, intuitive understanding. It comes intuitively, meaning from intuition, not from thinking. And this is huge. So then we know the difference between concept and reality. So I looked up at the dictionary just today, what the word intuition means. Because, you know, we always say, I don't know, some people, at least in my culture, say, oh, I had this intuition, right? It's just like a great idea. And it may come from a place where we haven't had a lot of thought pattern. It just comes from, some people will say, oh, but it came from nowhere, right? Because it didn't come from actually thinking it over or having a way that we actually manifested some sense of processing of the mind, right? So we say it came from nowhere. But actually, it doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from pure presence. It comes from awareness. It comes from this quality of being connected. And so in the dictionary, the word says, a knowing that is not passing by way of concept. This is exactly what we're experiencing. At least we're trying. Right? We're trying. So this takes, it takes time. It's a gradual path. So how many breaths? How many moments of presence? And whoops! The mind slips away into thinking. Right? Lost. In the dictionary?
Yes, again.
The intuition?
Yes.
That it says very clearly, in intuition, a knowing that does not pass through a concept. Meaning it's not conceptualized. Yeah? It doesn't go through mental process. Yeah? And it's true, we say often, like, oh, this is working much better when I it's you still hear me when I have it at a distance?
Yeah.
I must be careful how I hold this. So, we say, it just came to me, right? It's just like it appeared, but it's not from nowhere. It's this kind of really an arising where it's sudden and there's some freshness to it. So what is happening is that we're clearly beginning to sense some freshness, you know, because concepts, it's all about knowing. How many times have you felt this, you know, that the concepts, when you repeat your story, there's rumination, right? We repeat cycles, don't we? Over and over again, yeah? I'm not happy in my life and I want to solve this and I repeat this cycle. And it's like, even though sometimes it's so old record, it plays over and over again. And we've seen it so many times. We're fed up with it, but we don't know, right, that there may be another way. And so with the intuition, with the quality of presence, we begin to have a way that we're actually seeing as it actually is, meaning there's more spaciousness, there's more capacity to see. And I have a very good example today in the group. Hopefully, I'm not going to name this person, but it was, wow, I came with such an idea of a big conflict with a person in my life. And I said, okay, it's great. I'm going to have the retreat. I'm going to stop and I'm going to be able to actually notice, watch this process. And exactly that, by stopping, that's what we've been doing. But how helpful to stop. By stopping, we begin to have some possibility where we give ourselves a space to see anew, in a new way. And really a new taste of something. And this person said, actually, I'm seeing today, it's not such a big conflict. It's such a small thing. So what had happened? And so this person was very clearly knowing what was happening. It was a little story with someone and it became a big story because the more we repeat, it's not okay, and we go over and there is a conflict and I tell myself, oh yes, this is a very big conflict and I need to repair and I need to do something about it. And I repeat it and I repeat it. It becomes this huge thing, right? Which is impossible to meet. But it's all mind making. It's construct. This is what concepts do, right? So they bring a lot of confusion. The bare attention, the quality of mindfulness, does exactly the opposite. And it was great because this person was really describing something where there was settledness, there was presence, there was embodiment, and there's space when we become aware. So that quality of awareness has some wisdom in it. There's wisdom in the awareness. This is why it's called wise attention. We're not trying here to actually solve the problem in terms of that conflict. We're just seeing a thought is a thought. And what happened was we're not lost in the storytelling mind, which usually we live most of our life in storytelling, what I'm saying about. So we're lost in the content, but we're actually coming into presence and we can begin in the same way that I can feel the breath. I can be aware of a thought, right? And when I'm aware of the thought, I can really notice if this thought is true or not, how much I'm building on the thought. Is it helpful? And from there, we can make choices. I can let go of that thought. And I can know it's a story. It's not the truth. It's not the actuality. So this is the meditation. Now, I do want to say, and I think that's so important, because many people, they confuse mindfulness with concentration. Hey, how many have said today, Oh, I can't concentrate. It's impossible to concentrate. I can't focus, right? So many thoughts. I can't get rid of the thoughts because we think we have to get rid of the thoughts to be able to be concentrated. But this is not mindfulness. This is not awareness, right? We have to have some sense of ground, which means we are trying to be in body. Why? Because body is always present, no? It's always here with you, right? So it's a very good source. It's a very good ground, right? And embodiment is something we've lost, actually. We live so much out of our bodies, it's crazy. And not here, everywhere on this planet, it's like, woo! We're beyond, you know, like, these poor bodies, they're really left behind until they ache and we have some stress condition or even worse, some medical problem, you know? So it's so great that we have a body that tells us, hey, wait a minute, I'm here, I can't follow. Please, come back, take a break. So I'm sure even if your bodies are hurting, tonight they're happy. You're even having a way that you're actually feeling. And feeling pain is much better than being totally disconnected from your own bodies. Right? It's so amazing to have this capacity to again feel, ah, there's a body. There's a body. And so we embody this body as best we can. And there are many ways that we can actually be in the body. You know, Charles gave a lot in terms of hearing. We can be aware of full body presence. For some people, it's helpful with breath. Others, not at all helpful with breath. So this is also to learn, since, you know, many of you are beginners. So you have to learn, where is the place of rest? Resting in the body, relaxing in the body. And from there, you understand that you can open the field of mindfulness to include every single experience. So when we concentrate, we have one object, right? We choose an object, maybe the breath or a sound. And we exclude everything else. Everything that's not that object, out, right? With Vipassana meditation, insight meditation, nothing is excluded. So maybe today you were sleepy. Did somebody have sleepiness today, a little bit? Many, I'm sure. Yes, it's normal. So the sleepiness is not a problem. We don't need to get rid of the sleepiness. We explore. Oh, what does sleepiness feel like? I can be aware of sleepiness, right? So nothing is excluded. It means, and this is very important, please hear that. If you go home tomorrow, you will go home tomorrow. There is no wrong experience. Should I repeat that? That's an important one. There is no wrong experience. Meaning, in terms of the meditation, nothing is a problem. Now, of course, we have preferences. Do we have preferences? Yes, we do. Of course, we have preferences. But in terms of the meditation, there is no wrong experience. Meaning we can learn from any experience. Because we can be aware. And wisdom is happening. Wisdom is happening. So this really is helping because we are not lost in the thoughts, but also we're not feeding the thoughts. So this is the middle path. This is the awareness. I can be aware of a thought, and many people think, I need to meditate, I want to meditate, I have to get rid of the thoughts. We don't need to get rid of the thoughts. We can really be aware of, what is a thought? Do you think it's possible to be aware of a thought while it's happening? What's your idea about this? Would you say yes? Have you had that experience? Some say no, some say yes. Some say, I don't know. So, yes, it is possible. As much as you can be aware of awareness, you can be aware that a thought has arisen, right? There's gaps between thoughts at times, right? The mind is still. And so there's, what's the story? It's a thought with another thought with another thought, and that makes up the story, what I tell myself, right? But in the same way, you can actually notice the awareness of being aware of that there is a thought. So progressively, we begin to be interested in the whole field of experience. So now, why is it that we're so much in pain after a day of meditation? Some of us, not everyone. That is really about wanting an experience which is not the actual experience, right? When I'm saying vipassana, it's seeing as it actually is. It would be so simple if you just say, ah, yes, this experience, come in, welcome. Like you invite everyone to tea, you know? Please come and drink a tea. This experience, sleepiness, come. Agitation, come. Body pain, yes, let me meet you. There would be no problem, right? But we have preferences, right? We want pleasant. We want comfort. We want to be satisfied. And we want this immediately. Now. Right? So it complicates the meditation process. This is what is complicating the meditation process. And of course, if we want a specific experience, and of course not the one that is happening, we don't want the one that is here. One cannot go without the other. No? Right? So there is here a relationship which is making the meditation difficult. And this is how we learn. We learn by way of meeting the battling, the fighting against what's here, and we have to have an understanding that it's part of the meeting. Did you fight today against something? This is why you're tired. We fight so much. We try to prevent from feeling pain. We try to get escape. We try to get rid of. It's really tiring. But really, to allow this process to happen, we learn exactly in the way that you've learned today. And there are moments where hopefully you had some clarity and some ease. And there was just a connection in simplicity and noticing that it's freedom that can manifest in that relationship of seeing clearly. There's a real sense of freedom. So this bare attention actually helps us see through confusion. It's the confusion, the ignorance, that is causing a lot of pain, not only in ourself, but in our relationships and in the world. Seeing exactly the opposite of wisdom, meaning in a deluded way. How when we build constructs, it's kind of creating a separation in myself. This may happen, you know, there's a part of me that I like and another part that I don't like, and I want to get rid of the part I don't like, and I want to increase the part I like, and it creates a split rather than when we begin to meditate, we're actually, it's happening through by way of experience, it's extraordinary. We begin to be able to say, this is okay, and this is okay. Because it is truly all okay. And therefore, there's a feeling of totality, of greater completeness. So I'd like to encourage you to really have an interest, because more than effort, it's interest in terms of exploring this, you can say for many of us, new way of just being, allowing to feel, to simplify. And when you begin to have it complicated by way mostly of thinking about how I can fix, how I can get, how I can change the experience, try to improve it, just notice it's part of the experience, it's thought process. Oh, I see, thought process, okay. Allow it, don't feed it, and come into simplicity. Body contact. Okay, so just a little bit more time of exploration during this retreat. 20 minutes of walking. It's going to be wonderful, fresh air out there. And just one step, actually, but try to be in connection. Simplify. Third type of wisdom. Just feeling the ground. Feeling, feeling, feeling. There's a thought. Okay, thought, I see you. And come into presence, right? Moment by moment. This is always, as Charles said, present moment awareness, right? Future, it's not yet here. Tomorrow is a thought right now. Tomorrow, it's not here. It's imagination. It's so great when we begin to realize that, wow, we always live in anticipation. And sometimes we create many fears in terms of what's going to happen, what we think is going to happen. And it creates suffering. So we simplify, living fully in now, here and now, here and now. It's grace. So 20 minutes, and then you come back for 20 minutes of meditation. There's going to be an offering of a nice guided meditation to end the day, and it will be a treat in your own language. Hopefully it's easier for you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all your efforts and courage that you're putting into trying to see clearly. It benefits you and it benefits everybody you're going to be meeting. There's bound to be an effect, you know, even if we don't know exactly what. It's okay. It's intuitive. Thank you.